What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Russillo, and joining me tonight on our last episode before the Four Nations break, my pal and yours, Shams Benamor. Shams, how are you doing tonight? How are you prepping for this Four Nations break in fantasy?
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to manage with the break actually happens because we're not even at the break yet, and I'm already looking at the next matchup schedules, which don't start until September the 22nd. And talking about that, found a couple of interesting tidbits. So after Saturday, this coming Saturday, when the Senators play, they do not play until one game on the 22nd, and then they only play two games the week after. And something to keep in mind is that the next matchup is 2 weeks, so they only play three games, with the vast majority of teams play anywhere up to four, five, or even six games. So when you're trying to win your matchup this week, and then Sunday your Senators are not going to be playing, unless it's the big name guys, but if you have like a Zub or like a random like winger, say like maybe Perron somehow made it onto your lineup, it might be a smart idea to use that as your drop, because there's going to be a good chance you're not even going to be fitting those forwards into your lineup. And then talking about as well with the schedule is that there is a pile. I believe half the league, or close to half the league, is playing both Saturday and Sunday to open up on the 22nd and the 23rd. So if you have like, say like Hofer's play tonight, he's also going to be playing one of those Saturday, Sunday games because they play on the 22nd and the 23rd. You might want to keep him on your roster and to see if there's someone else you could drop for your next stream, because you're going to get a Hofer game or one of these other backup goalies on that Sunday, which might be a semi-light. It's not as busy at the Saturday, so you can get some extra value out of your moves on this long matchup.
Always good to have some strategy and streaming strategy talk, even if that is often covered in the Matchup Maximizer episodes. I wonder if myself and Elon, and maybe you, Shams, will do an episode about strategy for the last 3 weeks of the regular season and the upcoming playoffs and who to target depending on your spot in the standings. I think there's probably appetite for that during the Four Nations break. The one thing I'll caution people on is don't blow all of your moves on, you know, Monday morning next week, because if you use all your moves and then someone gets hurt at Four Nations or lines change or there's a trade, I think I am going to do my best as I can to sit on my hands until near the end of the Four Nations tournament, and then start picking out my lines for the following week in my streams. I am extremely bad at sitting on my hands when it comes to fantasy. I am a tinkerer of all tinkerers, so it's going to be a challenge. But correct me if I'm wrong, Shams, you only get four moves for the entire matchup, which spans like 2.5 weeks in real time, right?
Yeah, correct. We always say you have four moves a week, but we use that as lingo because most matchups are only a week. So it is four moves per matchup or whatever your setup is on standard Yahoo. So even though we have extra weeks, it is always the number of moves you have. So if you're in Kakupful, you got to be careful with burning all your moves.
And also keep in mind that a number of players could come right off the IR when that ends. So all of a sudden you make a move, and then someone comes off IR and you have to make a drop. I think Boone Jenner is slated to be back quickly. No news on someone like Igor Chinnikov, who's been skating. Sean Durzi is getting closer. So a lot of those players who you may be holding in your IR slot may suddenly be available on Saturday, February 22nd, when this all starts. But enough about the future. Let's talk about right now. Some headlines from today. There's a couple big name players who have returned to the lineup, one of them being Mitch Marner, who only missed a game in Toronto. Bit lesser is Anthony Stolarz getting his first game after a pretty long injury. I'll actually be at that game in about an hour, so here's to hoping that the Seattle Kraken ruin Stolarz' return.
So yeah, it will be interesting to see is that, at least with the pass, is that they want a 50-50 split. At the very least, Wohl shows that he can take the net if need be, but at the very least, what they've showed is that they will do 50-50 when that comes. So unless we start seeing after the Four Nations Cup that they start running wool a couple of times in a row, that's kind of my takeaway, is to expect the 50-50. And then something else to keep in mind is that the people that had Riley, the defenseman of Toronto, getting a few moments under the sun back on power play one, well, that's gone, because they're now back to their five forward power play of Marner, Matthews, Tavares, Nylander, and Nyes with Marner back. So see what you want to do with, you know, we're talking about being trigger happy, not being trigger happy with using your booze, but maybe keep an eye on the value that Riley is bringing you going forward.
Definitely don't consider Riley a must hold in my book. I would be holding on to Wohl to see what happens, basically coming back from the Four Nations. Like you were saying, he'll be guaranteed one of those starts. I'm assuming they're one of the teams that plays a back-to-back to return. I didn't actually check that, but see what the split looks like. I know there's injury concerns with Wohl too, so that is probably why Toronto likes rotating them. But it may be the end of the road for him, as, you know, he's kind of been like a top flight fantasy goalie recently. Like, he's been really good when he's starting all of the games for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But yeah, patience over panic here. Another player who just returned from injury after a single game absence is Zach Werenski. He already has, I believe, 2 assists in that game. I know that was a much needed boost for Columbus. They basically had a ton of injuries and were playing with the skeleton crew last game, and that was not so pretty. Obviously, Werenski's owned everywhere. He's one of the big breakouts of this year. Any other fallout from this change that you're seeing?
I think it's more of, we talk about how injuries take away from everyone when looking at a fantasy prospect. I think this is just kind of the other way around, of just hoping the most out of just all the other players. Something a little to keep in mind is that Kent Johnson has actually taken the top spot in place of Barchenko being injured. It was Sillinger there before, so now it's something else to keep in mind, and we'll see how things go. But basically just have to have Werenski back if I have any defenseman, goalie, or forward for Columbus.
The goalie is definitely where I was going with that. Elvis Merzlikins has had some really good games in his past 10, but the last couple have started to slip, and especially the one, I think, last game without Werenski and Marchenko in the lineup, he gave up like 3 goals on 20 shots, which is not a particularly nice fantasy start. So getting Werenski back, playing his 25 minutes a night in front of Elvis, certainly makes me more comfortable rolling him out there to start. Finally, we had one more player going on to injury, and that's Anthony Cirelli is out tonight, day-to-day. That makes the Tampa lines kind of weird. They have Gage Gonclaves playing with Point and Kucherov, and then Nick Paul centering Gensel and Hagel. I believe Hagel has a goal tonight, so that line has done something. Obviously, I think this is a short-term thing. You can't fit a bolt in your lineup on Saturday, most likely, and then there's a couple weeks off. Not much you can do here.
Now, one thing I'll add is that obviously while Point and Kucherov are the best partners that you could have as a Gensel manager, is that if you look at the past stats of Hagel, he is a bona fide player in his own right. So I wouldn't look at the demotion to the second line for Gensel as much of a loss. And then also something interesting to keep in mind is that they've also switched up the power plays, because I guess the Lightning love switching their power plays, is that now it's Gensel, Point, Kucherov, so that top line is together with Hedman and Radish, because they have to have a different play. So that leaves Hagel onto the second. And the interesting thing is that they have been not in the actual practice. They didn't have Kucherov in there, but they did play Kucherov with the second power play in the game today. So I feel like Kucherov is just going to be taking that Ovi spot of just, he's not leaving the ice during the power play. So obviously you'd want to be that top power play guy with Hagel, but at least it looks like Kucherov is going to be with you no matter what if you get power play time.
With that, let's jump to a short break and we'll come back with some hot and cold streaks.
This ain't the little itty bitty teeny tiny bowl. This is Super Bowl LIX 59, baby. Get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Super Bowl 59. Scoring touchdowns is key to hoisting the Vince Lombardi trophy, and you have a shot to score big by betting on them at DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one place to bet touchdowns. New DraftKings customers can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5, only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Welcome back, everyone. As promised, here's some hot and cold streaks that may not be streaks anymore when we come back from the break, because I feel like you lose your streak when you take 2 weeks off. First up, Mika Zibanejad, the much maligned New York Rangers center who's really had a rough season, seems to have new life now playing with former teammate JT Miller. Were they on the Rangers at the same time? I feel like they were. Whatever. But ever since being moved to the right wing, playing with Panarin and Miller, he has a goal and 5 assists, including 3 power play points and a shorthanded point. I think that's in only 2 games, or maybe it's 3. But either way, he's been on absolute fire. If somehow Mika Zibanejad's available in your league, I'd definitely be looking for him. If you have the opportunity to trade for him, the Rangers have a great playoff push schedule, but a really bad playoff schedule. I think they only play 8 games during the 3 weeks of playoffs, but for the playoff push, they play 5 games over the slightly longer week, and then 4 games in each of the next 2. So you could really help yourself there if there's a trade to be made.
And something else to keep in mind is that, like, for example, talking about availability, I was able to grab him in my home league, which is only 10 teams. Because especially with the roster composition of being an only center, with being that cold streak on a shower league, it was make some space. But I say as a center, if they keep this up, the good thing is that Yahoo has been pretty responsive this year with adding positions. So if this keeps up, you might be able to get the right wing eligibility out of him and then just make him even a better spot for that playoff push.
Totally. The center reason is probably why some people haven't been able to add or trade for him. That's always a tough position to have the space to add someone in after you've already drafted and added a bunch of players in the season. Next up, a cold streak, which may be ending tonight. Aiden Hill has 1 win and 1 quality start in the last 6 games, but that does not include tonight, where he's had a pretty solid start so far. His goals against average over the last 6 is a .336. And his save percentage is an .884. He's rostered in almost every Cupful division. How much rope would you be giving him, Shams?
I am kind of paranoid now. The thing is that the nice thing is that with this break right now coming up, we don't have to make a decision right now. So we'll have to take a wait and see and maybe see how he plays in the Four Nations Cup. But I would be hesitant depending on how your league setup is. Say, for example, I have him in that home league I was talking about, which is a categories league where a lot of goalies are being rostered. So the picking's kind of slim. So I might be a little bit more open to him because the volume is not as important. And hopefully the team as a whole will generate some more wins and this could be a leap board. But it's kind of difficult. We were talking about looking at the Toronto goalies, how to manage them when we had both Stolarz and Wolf playing really well. And then we're starting to get paranoid about a 50-50 split, even though they're playing great and getting wins. Now, when you're not playing great and you're not guaranteed wins, that bar is, especially in a points league, a little bit higher. Is that I think at the very least, when you start looking at next week or next matchup, I don't think he's like a guaranteed drop, but look at your roster construction, see who's out there. And I would have to give myself an answer of why is he on my roster versus now I drafted him, he's there already.
I do wonder if this puts Canada in a bind for the Four Nations, given that their other two goalies are Jordan Biddington and Sam Montembeau. I wouldn't be comfortable starting Hill with how bad he's been lately, and I don't really like either of the other guys, too. That's going to be an interesting battle for the net. There's no obvious starter the way the United States has Hellebuck or anything like that. Next up on the hot streaks, Quinton Byfield has been a fantastic stream for those of you who streamed him like I suggested last week. He has 7 points in his last 6 games, but 5 of them are in the last 2 games. In addition, his line with Laferriere and Fiala was completely dominant against Montreal last night. They had 3 goals, they outshot the Canadiens 13-0 while on the ice, and outscoring chanced them 10-0, with 2 of those being high danger. That is about as dominant as you get from a line-on-line matchup. Is this a blip, or are the Kings slowly coming back to where they should be offensively?
It really feels about how you feel about Fiala, because it's kind of a weird situation. I don't think there's like an in-between for Fiala. He feels like he's like an all-star, just monolith of a player. He has 2 goals in that game, 2 goals in the game prior, or he's in a situation of being scratched because he missed a meeting. So I feel like Byfield's value is tied to how well Fiala's playing, because I feel like while they did play around with having Byfield playing on the top line, I think they have him as a center now. So really, it all depends on how his line mates are. And if Fiala goes, I see Byfield going.
I also wonder how much the return of Drew Doughty is affecting this. Having that just stabilizing force on the back end and some offensive talent of his own right really can kind of open up your offense and let your forwards play a bit looser. I'm definitely interested in the Kings. Again, they play Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the long week next week, or next matchup, which is it's a pretty light day type of schedule. So I'm going to be holding Quinton Byfield for another week and possibly looking to pick up more Kings if I can. Last but not least, a bit of a cold streak that I think has gone under the radar. Patrick Laine doesn't have a point in his last 6 games. He has 4 shots in his last 5 games, and his time on ice has dropped like a rock. He's been playing like 10 to 13 minutes the past few games. Do you think he's in the doghouse, or is this an injury, or are we really worried about him? What do you think here?
It's definitely doghouse, because the coach told reporters I forget which game, but he got benched at least 1 game, and I believe he may have gotten like semi-benched in another. Like, this is just one of those situations where hopefully it's not a Verona situation. I always joke about Verona showing up on a team, everyone loves him. Maybe a more recent call-out would be like Kuzmenko, where they show up on a team, goes off, everyone loves him, and then for some reason it just doesn't work out. I don't know if Laine is that situation, but it kind of feels like it now. We have him playing his way out of Winnipeg. He was playing great when he was healthy in Columbus, but it never worked out. And then this is his first bit. Now, hopefully it's not as quick of a storyline as this time around, but this is kind of be a situation where this is really kind of the way that fantasy people have been talking about how to manage Kaprizov with his injury, of just like, if you are in a playoff spot and you have a little bit of wiggle room to play, maybe you can let him sit around. But if you're in a situation where you're playing for a playoff spot and you don't know, it kind of depends on who else you have to drop. I would not be afraid to drop Laine, but just understand, at any point, you could turn it back on and then back on the power play and it could burn you. But understand that that's not a guarantee, but it's something that might happen.
He feels like such a boom-bust fantasy asset at this point, where either he's scoring a power play goal or he's a cardio session. Like, he hasn't been hitting a ton. He hasn't been shooting a lot lately. I'd love to get him to get back to three shots a game like he used to. I don't know. I love Patrick Laine. Like, I hope that he uses the Four Nations with Finland to find his game and has a great game. But I'm also a bit worried just because we've seen this before. With that, thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed our show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron, where super supporters receive ad-free episodes, and you can interact with Brian, Elon, the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our active Discord server. Check out gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter without having to slog through the rest of that place, including team by team and searchable tweets by player name. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. Till we see you next time, which will be a few weeks from now, play smart and keep your shifts short.